It's GG, hello, and welcome to this episode. This is not one of my stockpiled episodes where I recorded back in February to release. I'm recording this at the time of it. It's March 31st. Hopefully it will be out this weekend unless something happens, i.e. I relapse. Today's guest is Chad Zumach, stand-up comedian, podcast host with Sit Down with Zumach, and he's also a regular, I guess, show member, cast member of Misery Loves Company with Mr. Happiness, Mr. Friendly, the super woke Kevin Brennan, but more on that in a minute. As you may see by the runtime of the episode, this is not one of my longer interviews. We'll explain more on that very soon, which will begin after the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to see the video version of this interview, then go check out Hugey Entertainment on YouTube. At the time of recording, we are at 10,000, should I say over 10,100 subscribers. Thank you very much. If you want to interact with me, that's the place to do it. Leave comments, drop likes, do whatever. You can add me on social media, but I tend to only reply to YouTube shit. Speaking of YouTube, if you happen to be a pro wrestling fan, the best thing you can do right now is go subscribe to Keeping It 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the legendary podcast from Living Legends, Conan, Disco Inferno. All kinds of insider news and stories and craziness going on over there. It's very controversial, very entertaining. And at the minute, we are, should I say at the time of recording this, we are almost approaching 14 million views. We've got over 26,000 subscribers. It's growing every day. Thank you very much. As I mentioned, social media, I'm at the Hugey on Twitter, at the Hugey on Instagram. Follow me, like my stuff, retweet me, do whatever you want. Probably not going to reply to messages, it just annoys me. I've said this about 100 times, yet people still do it, and then they get shocked why I don't reply. Very, very strange. And I have to say that any and all music clips you may hear within this episode, well, in my opinion, they're all 5-star brilliant, and I wouldn't use them if I didn't think they're anything less than 5 stars. And if you want to own those songs and you want to support those artists, we can get them from all good official music stores and streaming sites. So thank you, and the plugs are over. So yeah, as you may have seen by the podcast running time, this is not a long interview. Usually the interviews go like 50 minutes, maybe an hour. This one went maybe 30 minutes. And I've got to say, while this is not an insult, this is not a laugh a second interview. This is more like a discussion between two gents. I don't know what it is, unless it's maybe because I know that Chad has these feuds going, or these problems with like the Ski Mask media group with Chrissy Mayer and stuff like that. And maybe he knows that not that I would say that I'm like best friends with them, but I get along with them, I like them. But I also like Chad. So I think that maybe he was on the defensive. Maybe he thought I was trying to set him up or whatever. But to be honest, I'm going to clickbait the YouTube clicks anyway. YouTube clips anyway. So I guess that whole shit was inevitable. But before we get to that, I'm always going to do a little plug for Get My Go. If you don't know Get My Go, it's probably the best burial show out there. It's the video version, basically, of Who Are These Podcasts, but instead of going after a series of different podcasts, we just keep going after the same one. I've been on a ton of episodes, and the person who's behind it all, the genius, the director, the editor, the organizer, the producer, is the great Mike Durband. And I'm going to personally invite Mike Durband on this episode right now to really pad out the time for a good, good, long, long discussion on one of my favorite superhero films, The Guardians of the Galaxy. So, Mike Durband, hello. Joining us on Earth is about to review a movie that is out of this world, get it, it's space. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy with the wonderful Mike Durband from The Mike Durband Show. So, Mike Durband, what's your opinion on The Guardians of the Galaxy?
Other than the fact, well, if you can get packed, yeah. Good thing John Wangland isn't editing this episode, because he would have left that in. if you can get past the fact that the director is a pedophile, or at least his tweets are, it's a great movie and an amazing soundtrack.
I will leave those flubs in because I'm lazy. And these are just stopgaps so that I can somehow add in the second song. But apart from that, why don't you give us a plug there, Durban?
The Mike Durban Show is on the Creative Control Network, and once or twice a month, check it out.
This fantastic five-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's Usually Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, thank you, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing, we've got a special deal for It's Hugely Hello listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you gotta do though is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEZY. That's H-U-G-H-E-Z-Y, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEZY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mike. And boy, oh boy, was that a long appearance. But remember, go check out Get My Go on YouTube. It's growing slowly, but it's growing. But what I do think is typically strange is the audio version. It's doing fucking amazing because it's a funny show. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of legitimate downloads. Be offended. I want you to. Because it's only going to make us worse. And I will be returning to it soon. Ish, whenever I can or want. But up next is the great Chad Zumach. Now again, if you're expecting a lot of laughs, don't, because this is not a funny interview. This is, he may be a comedian and he is a funny guy. This is more of a serious debate, conversation. For those who may or may not know, Chad's going through a bit of legal issues. We touch on that. We touch on the Chrissy Mayer stuff, the ski mask stuff, dealing with Kevin Brennan, Anthony Cumia, all this stuff. Like, it is a good conversation. It's just not a funny one. But regardless of that, thank you very much, Chad, for your time. And Chad, hello. Welcome into the podcast right now. We wanted to interview this guy for quite a while. The great Chad Zumach. That's with an O, not an A. Chad, how are you doing today?
What's up? How are you?
I'm fatter than fuck. I've just had a big dinner. I regret it. I should have waited. But that's what us fat people do. We eat and we have sitcoms on the Comedy Central Network. But Chad, I got to ask you, of course, 2020 and 2021 been real shitty fucking crap times. You yourself have had quite a wild one. I don't know how much you want to get into it, but how have you been and how are things going?
You know, I'm just day by day. That's how I roll with everything. I don't think too far ahead. I don't look in the past. I just keep going forward. So, you know, that's the only way you can really handle anything. When stuff's not in your control, you know, you just got to do what you can control.
Yeah, but the only time to look into the past really is when you're watching pornography. Because the worst thing that ever happened to pornography is the HD camera. Because you can see where the pimp's been punching them.
Jesus.
And I liked it back in the day when Jenna Jameson got a nice pint of cum shot in her face that we couldn't count the fucking semen.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Christmas special begins, you know. But I got to ask you, because of course you're doing shows out in Florida. I've been following you. I've been hiding behind the trees. What's it like for you as a comedian when you write a joke in these fucking insane PC times? Because is it like if you come up with a joke about this fat bitch or this black guy, but then you think, oh, I can't say that, I'll get completely torn apart?
It's not so much in the clubs. Like, you know, if you're on the road, everything's online. All the noise is coming from social media. It's all social media. But if you go to a comedy club, like I just saw Louis C.K. last week, and he was going for it. I mean, he was saying some really edgy shit. And I was like, nobody gave a shit. But you go online, you got some Twitter dude with 5 followers, a fake profile, and he's just making noise. So we're running around making decisions off the fucking social media platform that's pretty much ruining everyone's lives. It's ruining our quality of life. I really do believe COVID wouldn't be as big as it was if it wasn't for social media. It's so much misinformation. So many voices. It's just too much. It's like that game of telephone where you tell a story, you tell it to 100 people and the story's completely different. That's, you know, that's what it is. So I haven't had any problem in the clubs. I'm still going for it.
Yeah. More like a telephone, tell a woman, those big mouth bitches. Am I right? Ha ha.
Are you a comic?
No. Well, I mean, I used to be, but I have incredible stage fright mixed with massive ego. So I would write for others, but then I'm so brilliant that they can't tell the jokes the way I would say them. So I just started a podcast.
All right. There you go.
And that's actually one of my better jokes. But the thing about with the PC stuff is that the fact that they would go back through old jokes.
Yeah.
When everybody starts off, you're like, I was taking a fucking shit at the stripper's house and the drugs and the women and all that stuff. Like, you're trying to be edgy and create a persona, a personality, all that shit. But then they go back and they go, I can't believe it that 17 years ago, Chad Zumach told the joke about a woman's breasts. That counts as rape. I want him fucking lashed with a fucking whip in the public. Does it ever panic you out, or do you not really care?
I don't give a shit. I just saw somebody posted something about Jay Leno apologizing for some joke. And I'm like, what? The New York Post? I go, for something he said back in the day? It's just like, different times, man. I mean, different rules. Like, I love when they try to go back and cancel John Wayne. I was like, he grew up when there's fucking people drinking out of separate water fountains. I mean, it was a different era. We got to quit judging people for shit that's already happened. It's over. It's done. Move on. Yeah. I'm not down with the woke movement. I'm just not down with it.
Yeah, I love the fact is, like, I think we would all agree that, like, we would never be racist and oppression and segregation is wrong. But I do love it when an actor says, oh, I'm horribly oppressed. It's like, well, back in the good old days, slaves were sometimes used as toilets by their owners and made to work all day under the punishment of sexual assault and rape. But Will Smith's like, you think you had it bad? I didn't get Oscar nominated for the Suicide Squad. It's
funny, the just the hypocrisy of everything. And I don't know, we're in this movement right now where you can't have a discussion. It's just a dialogue. It's a monologue, more or less. They get on a podium and you have to shake your head and agree. And if you don't, then you're the devil. You're the worst person ever. You're a racist. And everyone's just falling in line right now. And I don't like that. I've seen it happen in the comedy community. That's why I like what Rogan's doing down in Texas. He's trying to get away from the Hollywood scene. He's bringing all these comics on there and they're like, we don't need this business model anymore and this bullshit agenda that you're pushing. Let's just do our own thing. And that's what's going to happen, is we got to take the power away from Hollywood.
Yeah. Cause like woke doesn't work, because it instantly creates a divide where you get people who are like, no, you can't say that word. That's rude. And then the other half go too far. And they're like, I can say that word. In fact, I'm going to get it tattooed across my knuckles. And if my daughter goes out with one of those words, I'll fucking slap her.
When comics start going down that road, I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, I have nothing against her personally, but Amy Schumer, it's just like, I mean, you got famous by saying gook and telling horrible jokes, like, and now you're this social justice warrior. I mean, come on, man. And that's why, you know, I don't know. I see a lot of comics go down that road and I'm like, it's just not my style. I haven't changed. I've been the same.
Yeah, she's definitely a massive C, but she is not a massive comic. But I got to ask you, speaking of C's, no more famous than Mr. Cumia. For the record, I love the guy, so I'm not trying to set you up to trash talk him. But there's no denying that the guy is a fucking like a critic magnet, that there's people out there who want to not even so much cancel him, but just give him shit and complain and harass. So, and he's got a lot of controversy around him about past shit. So what's it like for you as a guest or a friend or a comic to go on that show knowing that the host, Anthony Cumia, has this a big controversial side to him?
I think Anthony's one of the funniest human beings ever. He's unfortunately labeled a few I never really gave a shit. Like, I'm pretty loyal to everybody, and he's always been nothing but cool to me and nothing but funny. And I don't, that's how I judge him. I just judge him for that. I mean, he's never done anything. I've never heard him say anything remotely racial in just conversation, like we're just hanging out, you know, when we were on camera. So I don't know where, you know, I don't know. People that judge that are fucking idiots. Like, if you're judging me because I go on Anthony Cumia's show, you're an idiot. I don't care. Like, you know, he's done nothing but help me. He's done nothing but help me, help make my album number one, promoting me. So, like, why would I turn my back on him because he's, quote unquote, not the popular guy or the guy everyone, you know, we have to fall in line with?
Yeah, I'll admit, like, as a Cumia fan, I do wish he would stop talking about political and social shit online as much and maybe just stick to making fun of, nerds. But I think that there's this bizarre group of people who made him what he is, and now they're actively trying to ruin him. And I think, like, it's not going to happen, because I don't know if you'd agree with this, but when it comes to Anthony, I would say he's the funniest non-comedy guy out there.
I agree. I agree 100%. The guy could, if he really wanted, he could pursue stand-up comedy if you want. That's how funny he is. And, he's a multi-millionaire, a broadcast legend. He can honestly just live out his life. He doesn't have to do this. Like, he's just doing it for fun. That Compound Media is like his softball league. It's a bowling league for him. It's just what he likes to do, and he's good at it. So, and he's helped a lot of comics along the way. I mean, yeah, some of these super fans, they're kind of weird. There's a group of dudes that they think they're helping, and they think they're – the problem with these fans is, you know, we put ourselves out there, and they see us interacting. I use the analogy, like, when I was a kid, I used to play cops, and I had, like, a fake gun and a fake badge. But I went to a real precinct and pretend like I was a cop, and they're like, get the fuck out of here. You didn't go to police training. You never shot somebody before you want to be. And that's what I say with some of these fans who – just because they open up a Zoom account, have a YouTube page, doesn't mean you're a fucking entertainer. I mean, you can do it, but nobody knows who the fuck you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, just know your role. Be a fan and quit pretend like you're a comic.
That's one of the things for me that, of course, you know, Dave Landau, where he followed me on Twitter, and it was a case of like, I have now the ability to DM him, but I don't want to abuse the privilege and get into one of these like, hey, Dave, how was lunch? Did you have soup with it? You just want to sort of stay there as a fan of a person who's being nice to a fellow racist.
I never, like, in my wildest dreams, I mean, before I met Artie, I was a fan. I was a fan of his. The Howard Stern Show was like a big deal to me when I was younger. But I would never, at the time, being a young comic, like, go in there and just start ripping on him. Like, yeah, you fat fuck. I would never do that. I'm like, dude, I don't know. First of all, you've accomplished way more than I ever have. And, you know, you've inspired me to be somewhat of a fuck up and get on stage and go into broadcasting. So, but some of these fans, they just don't get it. They just like, oh, we're all equals. No, man, we've been fucking busting our ass. Doing shitty mics after shitty gig, you know, dedicator. And it's so thankless. So you didn't put the work in. You didn't put the work in. So quit trying to hang with us. You're not hanging with us.
But one of the big podcast guy at the minute, Joe Rogan, have you ever heard of that guy?
No.
He's this piece of shit cunt. But of course, you're the host of a Sit Down Zoom Walk podcast, and you're part of Are you the official co-host of Misery Loves Company, or is that just the regular seat?
I refused to accept the co-host position because it never ends well. So I told Kevin I don't want to be a co-host because I'll be gone eventually. I was like, I'd rather be friends with you. Because, I mean, as soon as the co-host's done, he never talks to him ever again. I go, well, I don't want to be a part of that.
But I got to ask you, though, about Joe Rogan, where it's just come out over the last 2 weeks that his podcast listenership has gone down by 80%.
Has it?
Yeah, and I'm sure he could give a fuck because he's making $100 million, and I'm sure he sits up at night and cries that people aren't listening. But when it comes to Joe Rogan's podcast and it comes to your podcast, do you think that the comedy scene is going a little too far and oversaturating the mark with the podcast world?
I am a podcast listener. Comics figured out a way to get their voices to be heard. I mean, there's a lot of podcasts I don't listen to, and they're very, very, very popular podcasts. Like, you know, Tom Segura has a podcast. I don't listen to it. You know, Theo Vaughn has a podcast. I don't listen to it. You know, it's like, so there's a lot of like comics, but they have huge following. So the thing about Rogan, like, yeah, he went over to Spotify and people are creatures of a habit. Like, I know one guy, he's sitting right behind you, Jim Florentine. He's like I just quit listening to Rogan because I don't want to download Spotify. It's that simple. He's like, and I was like, yeah, it's like, there's so many options now. So you just go on to the next thing. And, but like you said, Rogan can probably give a fuck. I mean, he made a shitload of money and good for him.
I think that would be hilarious if Florentine downloaded Spotify and then he started streaming songs and he'd be like, hey, Chad, have you heard of this Lady Gaga? She's fucking good, bro. And the whole fucking thing, like, he would completely switch and he'd stop being that metal guy. He'd be that woke guy. And do you think he ever stuck his tongue up Robin Quivers' asshole?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
I will do. Will we call him on the air?
Nah, we're good.
But with Rogan,
he's going to be on MLC later today, just for the record.
That'll be a lot of smiles.
Yeah.
But with Rogan, do you think that, would you say that it's fair to say that he's overtaken Howard Stern, or at least become more relevant than Howard Stern?
I think Joe Rogan going to Spotify was very similar to Howard going from terrestrial to Sirius XM. Because he lost a lot of his audience, too, doing that, you know? And it is what it is, but the diehards stick around. But, yeah, undeniably, he's the biggest podcast in the world, even though he went to Spotify. I mean, it still makes news. It's still in a conversation. And, you know, he still sells out everywhere. So I have nothing against Rogan. In fact, he's always been very nice to me when I see him. So I'm not one of these guys. Like, I don't even know if he really knows who I am. But he does acknowledge me like he knows who I am. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. He said I was funny on one of his podcasts, so I think he does know who I am.
Yeah, he's always trying to get me to go on his show, and I'm like, yeah. Fuck that. Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
But there was a show that I was on last week, and I've got to ask you about them, because I know that you have a bit of a feud with them, or you don't get along with them. So I'm not trying to stir anything up, but I got to ask you about the ski mask groups, because I like them. And I like you. I like everybody. I'm not trying to pick sides or stir shit. But what the fuck happened to call it? Because it seemed to me like it was just these guys who would sometimes appear on the Kevin Brennan, Mizzy Loves Company, and then maybe do some stand-up comedy. And then this feud broke out. So can you maybe explain or clarify what actually happened there?
There's no feud. I just don't know them. I don't know those people. I just don't know them. And I don't owe them anything, and they're just incredibly shitty to me. So I'm like, I don't need you in my life. It's that simple. I don't need to be in your life at all. I don't know you. You guys are dudes. Go do what you do, but I owe you nothing, and you've been shitty to me. That's all it is. You know, they're not comics. They're just some fucking Compound Media subscribers.
But do you think that it also might be a case of it's kind of ball busting that because you don't know each other, it maybe goes a little I can't even think of the word, but the joke doesn't land because you don't know each other?
Yeah, I don't know who these people are. I don't know who they are. They just came into my life one day, and for some reason I'm supposed to have like a friendship or something with them. I don't know. I don't know anything about them. Don't want to know. All I know is they've been shitty, and that's what it is. And that's the beauty of the block button. You're out of my life. Like, you're dead to me. And that's what it is. I don't know. I don't know who these fucking people are. You know, they sit there and shit on me, but they'll kiss Chrissy Mayer's ass? All right. That's all I need to know. Well, yeah, there you go. That's a hill to stand on.
But that actually brings me to my next topic, because Chrissy Mayer happened to be on that episode last week with the ski mask that I was on. And Carl from Who Are These Podcasts was there. And I remember listening to your appearance on that, and you didn't fucking like Chrissy Mayer at all. So what happened there? Because that's another one that I didn't even know there was a problem.
Yeah, I fucked that podcast up. I went in there. I was going through a weird period. It was like during the quarantine. And the shutdowns, and I was just, I was just trying to, like, I don't know, move the needle. So I fucked that appearance up. The Chrissy Mayer thing just got out of hand. I was just bored trolling, and that's why I don't troll as much anymore. And it got out of hand. Like, I was like, is this even reality anymore? Like, And then that's another thing I had to put in perspective. I'm like, I don't even know her. Like, what are we doing? So I just, but she kept it going, her and her boyfriend. And that's my thing. I'm not fighting a comedy team. I'm not going to go fight a YouTube group. I just, if you want to go toe to toe, one on one, and that's cool. But I don't have it in me anymore to argue with these people. I just don't care. I don't give a fuck. I know like some people enjoy the drama, but end of the day, I don't give a shit. I just don't care.
Well, to be honest, as a viewer, it is kind of fun to watch. But I think with Chrissy, I think she gets very misrepresented because she's doing this sort of like, I guess you'd call it journalism stuff. But it seems that sometimes her point of view is a little one-sided, or should I say her interviews are kind of more one-sided. But I hope everybody gets along in the end. That's how much of a stoned hippie I am.
I think she's a confused lady who's looking for an identity, and that's all it is. She wants to cling on to something to get noticed, and more power to her. Again, I don't understand why we're all connected. Like, I don't have a relationship with these people, so it's very bizarre. But when they came at me pretty hard, I did find it pretty funny that it bit them in the ass. Like, you know, because I know they enjoy the attention, but, you know, you get exposed for something that you're not, and that's a problem.
What do you mean?
Well, like the dude that made that documentary on her and stuff like that, like they're coming at her hard. Like, it's just like, I don't think she wants to go down those roads, man. But she opened it up. Like, she started all of that. And, you know, if you want to be shock jock, you're going to have to take the consequences, too. And you got to be undeniably hilarious if you're going to go shock jock. You got to be hilarious. And, you know, I don't know. I don't find her all that funny, personally.
I haven't seen her stand up, but I do like her interviews. I think it would be good if not that if somehow there was a not so much a face off, but a recorded discussion between you and her, that would at least be fun for the comment section, at least.
I guess. I don't know.
But of course,
I mean, like, we're entertaining like six people who give a shit. That's all. Like, nobody gives a fuck about my beef with Chrissy Mayer. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I was on the phone with Nate Bargatze. He didn't even know who she was. So nobody cares.
I don't know who that is. Is that a big name?
He's a good comic. Yeah, he's a big comic. He just had a Netflix special.
Oh, fuck yes. I know who you're talking about. I'm a retard. I just discovered this new comedian called Rodney Dangerfield that I've started listening to. That's how up to date I am in the world.
There you are.
But I got to ask you as well about Stutter John. When you were on WATP, did that cause any problems between you and Stuttering John?
That's, again, I fucking another guy I didn't know. I went in there trolling on Who Are These Podcast. I took that route, which was dumb because it bit me in the ass because I didn't. John is everything people say. Because, you know, he turned on me. So I'm like, oh, that was a dumb move on my end.
Well, what did he do to you?
He turns on everybody. That's what he does. I mean, I don't know the specific situation, but I was just like, oh, that was a bad audible I called. Bad move. Because I didn't really care. I was just trolling. That's all I was doing. And it bit me in the ass.
Yeah, but he fucking... He turned on me because I've interviewed him a few. It's actually because of Stuttering John that I was able to get any names at all. Because the short version of the story is I interviewed him while I was under the influence from my back injury. Mm. I was on these pills and I was fucked up. And the interview was a complete disaster, but it was funny because it was so bad because I was like slurring and drooling and all this shit. And I sort of stayed in contact with him, but then because I interviewed Carl from Who Are These Podcasts, he's all like, oh, you're all fucking prep, fuck you. And you think, what the fuck's your problem, you psychopath?
Yeah, he's got some issues for sure, you know. And I don't know. Again, I called a bad audible. I, you know, I don't, you know, he's another guy. I don't know who he is. I really don't. So I don't need it anymore. I got too many. I got real life problems. I don't need fucking Twitter beefs.
You know what I'm just noticing, which I don't know if it's ever been brought up to you before. You look a bit like Bruce Willis.
That's the first I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
Probably the last.
Well, if he get to fuck Demi Moore, something's going. Can you imagine what that's like, by the way? It's in the 80s. Die Hard 1 has just come out. You've just signed your contract for Die Hard 2. Oh, yeah. And there's Demi Moore on all fours naked with her arse in the air. Like, that would be a fun Sunday, wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Bruce Willis has lived a nice life, for sure.
Have you heard any scandalous stories about him?
No, I don't.
What about Tom Hanks? Any dirty rumors?
No, I don't keep up on celebrity gossip. Good.
What about Jim Florentine? Is he a dirty man?
No, Jim's one of the nicest guys in comedy. One of the last Mohicans. Good storyteller. Great career. Loyal. Good friend.
And most importantly, a lovely smile.
Well.
Well, speaking of the nicest guys in comedy, and just before I let you go, I got to ask you about Kevin Brennan, Mr. Warmth. You touched on it a little bit earlier with the fact that the guy is fucking permanently fighting with everyone, sometimes literally physically. For you, when you go on his show, and he's like going after Dave Landau, and he's like really going hard. Pardon, that's just me being hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then he's going after Chrissy Mayer. He's got all this shit going. When you're on the show, and it's like minute 47, and he's still calling Dave Landau, calling him a dickhead and all this shit. What's going through your head during times like that?
Well, you know, Kevin has his little beefs with people, and the fact of the matter is, I like Landau. I've known him my whole comedy career. He's from Michigan. I'm from Ohio. We would see each other on the road a lot, you know. So I'm in a difficult position because I can't take all of Kevin's beefs. Some of them I'll agree with. Like, I think Neil's kind of a douche. Leslie Jones is kind of a little, she's a little disturbed. I'm not a fan of Whitney Cummings. So, I mean, there's people I don't like, but I'm not cucking out when I say I like Dave Landau. It's not cucking out. He's a friend. I'm not going to just beef with the guy for, you know, people's entertainment. I'm like, you know, Kevin has a problem with him, and his whole situation that happened on Jim and Sam escalated. And by the way, I think the whole thing could have been fixed, but I don't know. It's just one of those things that you got to let Kevin be Kevin, and that's what he does. And, you know, unfortunately, comics have peeled away from me just because I'm friends with Kevin and I do a show. So, but then again, I don't really want those people in my life either. You know, it's like, just like, again, like you were talking about Kumia. I go on Kumia's show. Like, I know what you're all about. Social climbers, these, like, you know, I could say Chrissy's like I remember I did one of her Instagram lives. This was back in the lockdown. She referred to social climbing. And, you know, networking is very important to her. And I go, okay, well, I know what you're all about. Social climbing. You want to get ahead no matter how or no matter what. So, you know.
But I gotta be honest with you, though, with Brennan versus Landau. I mean, yeah, it was kind of a weird way for him to leave the Kumia show. But, like, you can't really bash a guy for taking a options if it's a step up. Like, if it's more money for a bigger audience. Like, anyway, like, I would do the fucking Amy Schumer podcast if that thing asked me to.
Yeah, no, he got an opportunity, man. I mean, that guy, Lando's been a road dude. He's been busting his ass. He's got a family, you know, and he works his ass off, and he had the opportunity to go on a bigger show. It is the guy's younger in age, you know, where Anthony's getting older, and he's not real unsure where he's going with South Carolina and the network. So, yeah, it was an opportunity that presented itself. I think Dave, you know, just basically, this is not what he told me, but if you were to check the boxes, it all made sense for his situation. So it's kind of a no-brainer situation. I'm sure he's very grateful that Anthony helped him. And, you know, he's well aware that it opened up doors for him and got him the Crowder job. So, but again, like Tim Dillon, who's making $14,000 a month on his Patreon. The reason why he's making $14,000 because Joe Rogan gave him an opportunity and he presented itself and he killed it. And same with Dave. Dave went on Crowder opportunity. So you take advantage of these opportunities. You have to in this business.
And of course, and then it seems like the recent guy that that Brennan's going after, Bob Kelly. Is how legit is that, or is that just ball busting?
He's been going after Bob Kelly since the podcast started. So it's just been an ongoing argument. It hasn't ended.
But what the fuck? I don't understand, because I interviewed Bob Kelly about a year or two ago, and it was, I think that the legal term for it is fucking disaster, because he hadn't eaten yet, which is ironic, because I thought, oh, that's all he ever fucking did. And he was pissed off and hungry, and he kept talking about, dude, I haven't had my eggs yet. And I just thought, like, what the fuck is the problem? Like, who are you trying to fight? And then with someone like Brennan and Bob Kelly, it's like, this is Rocky and Apollo Creed.
Yeah, I mean, whatever analogy you want to use, go ahead. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, they're just old. They've been in the game for a long time. They're just comics. They've seen it all. They've done it all. You know, and, you know, but I think both of them are aware of the entertainment value, like when they fight. I think they're both in tune with, oh, people are going to love this. People love the drama. And that's what they bring, drama.
Who do you think might be next on Brennan's shit list?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we're doing a podcast. As soon as I get off this, I'm going to do Misery Loves Company with, and, you know, we're having Florentine on. And who knows? That's the beauty of Brennan, because I don't ask questions and I don't know what's going to present itself or who's going to be on half of the time. I just let Kevin be Kevin. And that's why I'm still around. It's just because I always make it known. It's your podcast. Do whatever you want. I think that's where Brian McCarthy kind of fucked up. He thought it was his, and he was the star. And that's, you know, that's, you gotta let Kevin be Kevin, and that's what it is. And I think it's funny. And here's the thing. Kevin's fans they've fucking been great to me. Like, most of them, my Patreon's at an all time high. They bought me a bike. You know, it's just like, they're good to me. So I'm very loyal to Kevin. I mean, he helped me out. So I try to pay it forward.
I just love the fact that with Louis C.K., when he went through all the shit he went through, and he came back on tour, and he thought, you know who I should bring with me and spend a lot of time with traveling? Kevin fucking Brennan. That'll be nice.
Yeah, Kevin, he's actually he's a cool dude. Like off mic, you know, he talks sports with him, and he's like, I mean, one time before his roast, like, we went and got some food at Sammy's Noodles. We're just bullshitting about things, and, you know, he's a good guy at the end of the day. A lot of people don't see it.
Yeah, he seems like a decent guy, but does he only have that black sweater?
I don't know. I don't know.
I want like a fucking, what do you call them, Tommy Bahama polo shirt by the end of the year. That could be the new Hawaiian Brennan. Let's get it going. Let's go viral.
Pitch it to him.
I'll try to. But speaking of pitching, I don't know how I can segue from that. But speaking of plugging, is there anything you'd like to plug for anybody listening so that these scumbags can find out how more of the life of a Bruce Willis lookalike stand-up comedian?
Yeah, be sure to watch all the diehards. if you can, rent Moonlighting on DVD with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis. No, just sign up to my Patreon for $3 a month. And that's the best way to support a comic right now in a pandemic. And I appreciate you having me on. And I hope it went the way you wanted it to go.
It did. I'm a fan of you, and I'll be watching the next MLC. And take care. And I hope all that shit works out for you in the end. And maybe we'll do this again. Maybe I'll come stay with you. How about that? I'll come sleep on the couch. We'll watch Die Hard. You can tell me about all the trivia. Tell me about Demi Moore's in this. It'll be fun.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you, Chad, and best of luck with your trial whenever that starts. As I've said before, I have a bunch of episodes stockpiled, so there will be another episode coming very soon, and this very, very exciting intro is obviously enough to get you excited for that. So, thank you for listening. Thank you, Chad, for coming on. Again, I'm not taking anyone's side, but it is kind of funny to stir the shit. Let's be honest, it is. But anyway, thank you for listening, and it's Shuzy. Bye-bye.